Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and all sold that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
There was a man named Dr. Williamson, and Dr. Williamson owned a diamond mine in Tanzania. And one day some children were playing around, and they saw this lump of something laying on the ground, and they picked it up, and they took it to Dr. Williamson. And Dr. Williamson realized what it was. It was a fairly sizable rock, but it was a diamond. And he presented that to Queen, Queen Elizabeth. This was in 1947. And she had it cut. I think he gave it to her on her anniversary of her marriage or something like that. And a few years later, Cartier Jewelers cut that lump, that diamond that those boys found, into a 33.9 million dollar stone that is used somewhere. It's a brooch. That's what it was. In my back bedroom, in our back bedroom, we call it the guest room, there hangs on the wall this violin, missing pieces. It's really, really worthless in terms of its musical value to anyone. But one day I was at my grandmother's house in Little Rock. This was as an adult. And she had these window seats in her dining room, and I love the window seats because you open them up, they have this musty smell. And I used to, when I was a child, would crawl in the window seats back and forth and see what treasures were in there. On this particular occasion, there was a plastic bag. And inside this bag was this violin in pieces. And it had mud on it. And it was in a pretty pathetic condition. And I asked her, I said, "Do you mind if I take this?" And she said, "Oh, no, not at all. Go ahead, take it." So I take this pathetic looking piece of wood with me. I think this was in, I can't remember what state we were in at the time. But I took the brass fittings off the tuning device and took it to a place, a plater's, who could replate it with brass. And I cleaned the wood up, sanded it a little bit, stained it, put varnish on it, glued it back together, missing the two pieces. And now it sits in a shadow box on our wall. It's worthless to anyone else. You wouldn't go in our house and say, "Oh, I'm going to steal that." You'd say, "Why is that on the wall?" What I'm talking about in these two stories, one of the diamond and the other of my violin, is in value. What's important to us? What is it that we're willing to give our lives to? To what extent are we willing to sacrifice? I really think that's the point of these two parables that Jesus told. one of a person who finds a treasure hidden in a field, but he doesn't want anybody else to know that he found it, and so he covers it back up. And he goes and he buys the field because he knows, even though the field may cost him a little bit of money, that what he's going to dig up is worth far more than what he invested in the field. That's the secret to this parable. What's interesting to me is that the very, very first thing you hear out of the mouth of Jesus is the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God constantly. Now, I grew up in a tradition that thought that the kingdom of God was the church. It's not. Kingdom of God is not the church. In fact, if you were to draw a big circle and call that circle the kingdom of God, the church might be a little circle inside that bigger circle. The kingdom of God has existed longer than the church has ever thought about existing. And when we think in terms of the kingdom of God, we're not talking about an earthly kingdom. We're not talking about something that has boundaries or walls, something that you can define in that way. In fact, the kingdom of God, Greek word is basileia, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. It's wherever God's influence and rule is seen in the world. So when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." We're asking for God's rule to come and to be present among us. So I wake up in the morning, and that's part of my morning ritual, is I get around to that prayer and I start thinking about the ways that that has implications for our world. Well, Jesus comes announcing the kingdom of God is here. It's among you. Jesus says, this is from Mark, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near," "Repent and believe in the good news." That's our response to the fact that the kingdom has come. Matthew adds, "From that time on." That's what Jesus talked about. He tells all these parables. And the parables generally always begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and he tells us something about its character in these analogies that he draws. "Kingdom of God, the rule of God, is like a man who finds a treasure hidden in a field, and he goes and he sells everything that he can to get that field so he can get that treasure. Kingdom of God is like a little tiny mustard seed." I like to talk about tobacco seed. I know that's kind of a noxious weed, but it's so small that they have to mix it with meal in order to spread it. It's that small. Kingdom of God's like that. That's how the kingdom of God begins. It doesn't begin in a spectacular way. There's no marketing campaign for it. It starts small. But Jesus goes on and says the kingdom or the rule of God starts that way, but before long there's birds nesting in its tree, in its limbs. It's this majestic thing that began from something that was so small you can barely see it. John Bright said in his book, The Kingdom of God, in the New Testament, we encounter a change. The tense is a resounding present indicative. What he means is the kingdom of God is here. And Jesus was saying that at the beginning of his ministry before the church begins. Kingdom of God is here. And I think you're kind of tempted to go, I don't see it. Where is it? In another text, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And I like to think of it in terms of you see the kingdom of God when you see someone doing God's work. When you see somebody treating another person with compassion or justice, that's God's work. That's what we do. The kingdom is really the object of all God's work. That's what God has been up to. This was reiterated in Jesus' reading to the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus actually turns to Isaiah. That was the reading for the day. And he turns to Isaiah 60 and reads, and then he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. When the people in the synagogue realized what he was saying, they became so angry they wanted to kill him. He was one of their kids. He had grown up in their preschools. He had gone to first grade in Nazareth. And now they wanted to kill him, because they realized the implications of what he was saying. I think Christians have lost sight of this. I really do. I'm really disillusioned with the church today in general. Really disillusioned. Because I think we've lost our way. I think we've taken our focus off what God's doing to building our own little clubs. I really do. But that's not the intention of God. God has always intended for us to serve the larger purpose of the kingdom. And listen to how Jesus talks about the kingdom. Listen to his metaphors. The kingdom's like yeast. The kingdom's like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like a net, a fishing net. The kingdom is like a merchant looking for pearls. He's looking for that thing of great value, that perfect pearl. And Jesus, of course, is saying, that's the kingdom. That's what you're looking for. Kingdom is like a net full of fish. In the two parables we're looking at today, I want to repeat this. It's meant to convey the idea of worth. I really think when you catch that idea and you embrace it, it starts to change your life. Starts to change the way you look at people. It starts to change the way you work, the way you invest your life in the world around you. Joel and I were talking about how the news today makes you kind of want to go indoors or go outdoors, go fishing, or do something that takes your mind off the bad news. I think the danger always is that we disconnect from what God is doing. We forget to keep our eyes on that. We think more about us. So, a couple of important points about the pearl and the treasure. In each case, the finder knew the worth of what he'd found. In both cases, these two finders said, what great worth. Don't you think Dr. Williamson got that rock from those little boys and said, my word, look at this. I'm going to give this to the queen. The finder in each case was willing to blow the wad, as it were, in order to have it. I have got to have this thing. In this case, it was a financial purchase. In the case of the kingdom, it's a personal, ultimate sacrifice. Think about a Ukrainian fighter who gets on the train with his wife and child and escorts them to the border, to Poland or somewhere, and then gets back on the train and goes back to Ukraine. Think about that sort of giving of one's life. Who does that sort of thing? Who makes those kind of sacrifices? Who says, this is so important? Think about Doctors Without Borders. I think about World Central Kitchen. Do you know that story of that? There's a guy, Mexican guy, that he's a world-renowned chef, and he now goes to, he started in the Caribbean during one of the hurricanes. He went down there and set up a mobile kitchen and started cooking for people. And he's lately been in Ukraine. In fact, some of his people, some of his workers got injured by a rocket. Think about that. That's what people do. When you start to understand what the kingdom is worth, what God has been doing. Jesus is not telling these parables lightly. He doesn't mean for us to go, oh, stupid little parable. He wants us to say, wait a minute, there's something being conveyed here that is of infinite importance. So in the case of a lost coin, you know, remember the woman that lost a coin, and she turns her house upside down. I picture furniture out in the streets and sweeping every corner, all the lights on to make sure that coin shines when her eyes fall on it. Coin represented her dowry. She would have taken the coins and pinned them in her hair, because that represented her marriage ability. And to lose a coin was to lose her right to marry as a woman. Or the shepherd who loses one sheep and leaves 99 to go find that one lost sheep. Nobody does that. Jesus doesn't say that in the parable, but nobody does that. A shepherd listening to that story would have said, you've got to be an idiot to do that. And that's precisely what Jesus wants us to hear. Kingdom people get it. They realize they're dealing in ultimates. It's not like bargaining for a lower price on the new car, or it's not a fixer-upper that you get for a bargain. It's not that. It's something of such staggering value that you're willing to pay anything and everything in order to have it. Jesus wants us to understand that. And by that token, somebody who realizes what the kingdom is doesn't bargain with God. They never do. Because they realize that what they're getting is something that is infinitely better than anything they've ever seen. They say, Where do I sign? Tell me what I owe. I can't believe I found this. I've been looking for this all my life. That's what they say. Yesterday, Bev and I went to a guy that's been, this is a project he's been doing for 25 years. He's been collecting war letters. And they're inspiring and funny and disheartening and painful. He's got hundreds of thousands of these collected from all over the world. Wars as far back as the Civil War, World War I, and beyond. And after the guy finished speaking, he started taking Q&A, and this woman sitting sort of close to me raises her hand and says, I've got a box full of letters. Where do I send these? Sign me up. That's what people say to God. It's like a 54-carat pink diamond laying on the ground in a diamond mine. It's a family heirloom laying in a window seat. People who value them spare nothing in having them. Let's pray. Dear Father, give us the joy of the merchant who found the pearl of great price, who maybe spent his whole life looking for it. Give us the kind of hunger and understanding for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.